WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Plans announced for two world leaders to discuss ending the war in Ukraine. CBS's Charlie Daggett.
President Trump says he's going to speak with President Putin over the phone tomorrow. He told reporters a lot of work has been done over the weekend regarding Ukraine. In his words, we want to see if we can bring that war to an end.
Mr. Trump says they'll focus on division of property and nuclear plants. A standoff between the Trump administration and a federal court over deportation of more than 200 Venezuelan migrants to El Salvador. Correspondent Weijia Jiang.
The judge in the case ordered the flights to return to the U.S. even if they were midair, but a defiant White House claims federal courts do not have jurisdiction to weigh in since the planes had already left U.S. territory.
They're cleaning up the pieces in the South and Midwest after severe storms killed at least 40 people across several states. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves.
We could have as many as 12 tornadoes that came through our state.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com. For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Washera County Sheriff's officials are investigating human remains found in the town of Leon last week. A news release said officers were called to the area of County Road EE between Black Hawk Avenue and 26th Court for the discovery of the skeletal remains. Details are very scarce, and the investigation is still continuing. And a missing person with medical conditions was found with the assistance of a drone in Wood County. Around 8 p.m. on Friday night, the Wisconsin Rapids Police Department was dispatched to help find a 59-year-old woman. She had walked away from her home without her phone around 7 o'clock. Officers searched a densely wooded area without success. And the woman has medical conditions that affect her ability to care for herself. WRPD called in the Grand Rapids Fire Department drone team and Wings of Hope Search and Rescue to assist with the search. The drone team located the woman crawling into a wooded area. Officers quickly responded and found her within a minute after they saw her with the drone. The woman was confused and unable to stand unassisted. She was transported to the hospital for treatment. And two separate but connected protests occurred Friday afternoon in Oshkosh. Here's Lisa Hale with more.
One was close to a banquet hall where Republican leaders were meeting for a Lincoln Day dinner. The other was a few miles away at a busy shopping center. Both protests featured people passionately and legally expressing their dissatisfaction with changes made in the first months of Donald Trump's administration. Indivisible Winnebago and Peaceful Patriots organized the protests.
And Wisconsin residents interested in becoming an organ donor can now do so while filing their taxes. The Wisconsin Department of Revenue has added a new option to their income tax return. Officials are hoping the added convenience will increase the number of registered donors in the state. Any resident above 15 years of age can register as a donor, regardless of their health history. And there are currently over 1,400 Wisconsinites waiting for organ transplants. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Bucks bow to the Thunder.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports.
The Bucks losing to the Thunder 121-105. Doc Rivers says about the only guy to play with any effort last night was Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I thought Giannis really came with the right intentions. And I thought there's games, guys, that you have in the year that one team has understands the bigness of the game and the other team doesn't. And you can feel it, you can see it.
The Bucks have lost four of their last six games. College basketball, Marquette headed to the NCAA tournament for the fourth year in a row. They'll play New Mexico Friday night. The Badgers got into the big dance. They'll take on Montana on Thursday after losing in the finals of the Big Ten tournament to Michigan yesterday, 59-53.
This one stings, but as I told the team, I couldn't ask for any more in terms of what they've given us and how they played today, other than we didn't make shots.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy and warmer today. We'll get to the low 50s this afternoon, and it will be a little breezy this morning, but the wind will die down by later this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear, down to 33. Tomorrow, increasing clouds, 57, with rain likely tomorrow night, changing to snow after midnight. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
What do you think about Donald Trump firing 80,000 employees of the VA? Steve from Madison, also a veteran. I'm hearing from one of our conservative texters saying it's okay because it saves money.
How does it save money if it kills people? I mean, how many suicides are there amongst veterans? How many of our seniors need health care? I mean, you take away money from us and it kills us. That's what it does.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We will talk about the Wisconsin Badgers seed in the NCAA tournament and what makes you a target of the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Monday, March the 17th of 2025. It is St. Patrick's Day, currently in downtown Wausau at our 98.9 WXCO studios. Overcast skies, temperature of 30 degrees. I am Chad Holmes. It is the start of a new week. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Well, another very pleasant start here this morning. A normal, I think, start here in this part of March, middle part of March, getting closer and closer to real spring-like weather. But as we tend to see during this time of year, potential of some significant snow as we get to the middle part of the work week. Coming up in just a few minutes at 8:21, we will be joined by meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Tell us about what we can expect starting overnight, Tuesday night into Wednesday morning, throughout the day on Wednesday, and then into Wednesday night. Looks like some significant snow on the way, and we will find out exactly how much we should be looking for, at least at this point. Things can always change between now and then, but Brittany Merlot will have all the information that we need coming up at 8:21. Also coming up at the end of the program, we will have our daily history lesson. We will talk about some of the famous events that have occurred on St. Patrick's Day. Also, some of the celebrity birthdays, those folks that celebrate their birthdays on St. Patrick's Day. Some events and days that are being acknowledged today other than St. Patrick's Day. And then, of course, we will have our number for the day quiz with Ian Welsh coming up at the end of the program. And whether or not it has anything to do with St. Patrick's Day, I don't know yet. I have not looked that far ahead, so we'll wait and see on that one. But we will have that start off another new work week as well. So that's all coming up here in the next couple of hours on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And also you can join us on YouTube. Go to YouTube.com, go to the 98.9 WXCO channel and be able to see our video stream. And you'll be able to see that I did wear green today. I actually remembered. Normally, I don't remember that because normally in the morning, I'm barely thinking when I first start off my day. But I remembered, though, I got to wear some green today. So I did that. Also, if there are things on your mind, if there's something going on that you want to talk about, if there's something that you would like us to discuss as well, we would love to hear from you either through a text or a call. The number is the same, 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297 to be able to join us here this morning. That's a call or a text. Either one works. So if you want to text us at that number, feel free. If you want to call us at that number, absolutely. Also, you can use your Civic Media app as well. Go to the Civic Media app, open up the fourth one down, 98.9 WXCO. There's a button to call us. There's a button to text us. In fact, there's a button to email. There's a button to go to our website. There's a button to listen live. There are a lot of buttons there. But the first thing you do is go to your app store, search Civic Media, download the free Civic Media app, then open up the 98.9 one because all of the Civic Media radio stations are part of that app. So, again, get ready. Get involved. It's a new work week. We're a couple of weeks away, but 15 days away from Election Day. So lots to talk about during the course of the show. I want to kind of touch a little bit on local issues that we should be thinking about. You hear a lot about the state Supreme Court race. You hear a lot about the leadership of the state Department of Public Instruction. But there is a Weston Village President race on the ballot. We got a Owosso School District referendum on the ballot. So there's other issues that we need to be thinking about, and we're going to touch on that as we continue on this program as well. So again, lots to talk about. We want your voice to be heard. So join us, 715-382-9297. 715-382-9297 to be part of the program, and we want your voice to be heard. Another person whose voice is often heard on this program is our in-studio engineer and producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Top of the morning to you. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
I should not be surprised that you have that in your bag of tricks, because being somebody on the stage, you have to use certain dialects during...
Being an actor, I am a master of accents. I'm not perfect, but I will attempt to do my best.
What dialects have you used during the course of your acting career? How many have you used? I hated them because I actually have to do a British accent.
It can be a little tricky.
I was not one that was fine. I'd say I'm never doing that ever again. If there's a dialect, you'll never see me doing it. But obviously saw that you have a talent for the Irish. Mm. You could be the Lucky Charm spokesperson after what you just did there. But what else have you used in your career?
I have had to use a Brooklyn accent, like really? In New York. When I was in Newsies, I had to be a Brooklyn accent for that one. That was a fun one. I've had to do a British accent for quite a few shows, actually. I've done a couple of Western accents. I do an Italian accent sometimes. Sometimes I do a Spanish accent as well. I do have quite a variety. I can't do like every accent, but my skill set is pretty wide.
Very good.
I do a French accent, and I think those are the main ones I've used in like recent shows. But the nice thing is that every show I get to use an accent, I get more practice in doing it.
Have you ever had green beer?
Ooh,
I've never had.
Not much of a beer.
I'm a drinker,
but
yeah,
no, I've never had a green beer on St. Patrick's Day.
You know, in fact, I think, you know, in the state of Wisconsin, people, you know, obviously beer has been very important in terms of, you know, one of the cities known for its brewing is Milwaukee. And, of course, and even just Chippewa Falls for many years with Leinenkugel's as well. But in my entire life, I have not had the equivalent of one can of beer because I've only had beer twice in my life. Mm-hmm. And they were both as drinks. And first time was, and I shouldn't say this, but back in the day, there was a little event. I went to Everest, and one Friday night they played a football game up in Rhinelander, and then after the game there's a little get together in the woods, and there's
interesting,
and there was a little beer there,
and I took a sip, and it was terrible. I hated it. So it's like I'm not drinking that. And then many years later, I was working in Stevens Point, and we had a partnership. The radio station in Stevens Point had a partnership with Point Beer. And we have what were called backyard barbecues, you know, a few people from the radio station. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, people would sign up and with Point Beer in the radio station
right. And
win a backyard barbecue. And we'd have to go over there and have the little event and, you know, do a remote and be part of the party. And I was part of one of those, you know, being from the radio station, and thought, well, you know, it's been many, many years. Maybe mm-hmm. I was missing something. And I took a sip of a Point Beer. Terrible. So it's like and I haven't had a beer since then. It's like, I mean, that was like 30 years ago. And it's like, nope, actually, it was probably 25 years ago. But nope,
I've only tried a beer once and I couldn't.
It just doesn't taste good to me.
I swallow it.
I know. It's like, yeah. And I know many people feel differently. And good for them.
It just depends on the type of taste buds.
I know. Yeah,
it's not for everybody.
Exactly right. But I just like, and I sometimes wonder, it's like, you know, people that have the first time they try that, it's like, oh, this is great. And then all of a sudden they drink it all the time. No, it's like, I almost feel lucky that did not fall for beer that first time. So I've never had the green beer, but I wonder, it's like, you know, if I look at a green beer and I think, man, I wouldn't want to have a green 7-Up where it's like, you know, it's like, what's going on here? It's like, but for folks that do celebrate, go for it.
That'd probably be the closest thing I have to a green drink today is either 7-Up or the Starry stuff, like a green soda, but not the green beer.
But no, it's one of my favorite St. Patrick Day pieces of media is during The Fugitive. You ever seen The Fugitive movie?
Oh,
when they basically
classic movie with Harrison Ford.
Yeah, when he tries to get
through the St. Patrick's Day parade.
Yeah, and they had the tries to get lost in the St. Patrick's Day parade in Chicago, and then they have that river that goes right in the middle of Chicago, which they always make green. So I'm assuming down in Chicago today that they have the river that is green. But basically, and I've read stories about that scene, is that they basically did it right in the midst of the real parade. They didn't tell people. They just happened to do it. All those people that were part of the parade in The Fugitive with Harrison Ford and Tommy Lee Jones.
Movie magic.
And they decided, well, we're just going to have them jump in the middle of the parade. We're going to have the cameras and film it and make it as real as possible. So that's exactly what they did. And it was a scene that worked really great. And
it really did.
And it was, you know, it's like, wow. It's like instead of trying to get together a bunch of extras and a bunch of actors, they just did it right in the middle. And it was natural. And it was very, very cool indeed. So that's one of my favorite St. Patrick's Day adjacent little pieces of trivia. So.
Boy, they don't make movies like that anymore.
Nope.
I tell you, though, the action movies of the 90s are my favorite because you had The Fugitive, you had Air Force One with Harrison Ford. Yeah. I mean, Harrison Ford in the 90s was like the big
action go-to. Yep, go
star. To. Just like Bruce Willis was in the Die Hard movies.
Yeah, Bruce Willis did a lot in that era as well. And, of course, there was the Schwarzenegger and other movies as well during that era as well. So,
yeah, absolutely. Schwarzenegger was definitely the popular action hero in the 90s, too.
And then he became a governor. He stepped away for a while.
He actually did a pretty good job with that.
8:18 is the time. Again, pleasant start here on this St. Patrick's Day morning in downtown Wausau. Temperature of 30 degrees. But a little dose of winter, about, 48 hours away? Maybe even a little less than that. Mm-hmm. So we'll find out all about that and a whole bunch more. Brittany Merlot, our meteorologist, coming up next here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is flawed about that?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
This National Ag Week, we salute the men and women of agriculture. Quality Roasting would like to thank everyone involved in farming for their hard work and dedication helping to feed America. With flexible feeding options, Quality Roasting is here to help you explore how high oleic soybeans can fit into your farm strategy and make an impact. Quality Roasting, a local soybean processor since 1991. Call today, 920-775-9279 to sell your soybeans.
Revel in the soul of New Orleans and the spirit of Mardi Gras with the latest Jazz at Lincoln Center Presents concert celebrating the New Orleans Songbook. Led by acclaimed pianist Luther S. Allison and featuring the soulful vocals of Keanu Linnell and Milton Suggs, this concert celebrates the legendary composers and timeless songs that define the Crescent City. New Orleans Songbook, coming to the Grand Theater Wausau Friday, March 21st. Tickets at grandtheater.org.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
That's good.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, plus on YouTube, youtube.com, go to the 98.9 WXCO channel, and you can be part of the show again at 715-382-9297. Again, you can call or text that number, 715-382-9297. And right now, as we do every morning at 8:21, we get an opportunity to find out about the weather, and it's a beautiful start. Again, very, very nice start. A little bit of sunshine poking through right now, some cloud cover, but a very normal type of morning for this time of year, about 30 degrees here in downtown Wausau, but that may be changing. But to talk a little bit about the weather, we're joined by meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning, and happy St. Patrick's Day.
Absolutely. You're not going to do it in an Irish accent? I'm not even going to try.
I'm so bad with accents.
Ian did it for us earlier. It's like, you know, it's like he jumped right in there. Yep, he came through. Give us a little.
I've gotten pretty good at an Irish accent.
Oh, I like it.
So there's the talent. Shamrock
is in my favor.
There's the talent on this program. It's across the way, yes. On the other side of the other side of the glass. But over the weekend, yesterday was a very spring-like day. I mean, for this time of year, it's chilly, but it was back to closer to normal. And it felt actually nice out there. I don't know why. It just had that. It was refreshing yesterday, and it felt this way this morning as well.
Yes, it absolutely did. I mean, after those, well, first of all, it was crazy to have some thunderstorms on Friday roll through. Nothing got too crazy here for us, thank goodness. Down south, that was a tornado outbreak. But we got out of that. You know, we cooled things down. Those winds were vicious, though. I was outside Saturday night freezing as those winds are whipping at about 40, 50 miles per hour. And then we got a little bit warmer yesterday with the sun out. Like you said, it was crisp. It was refreshing. It was perfect. I was out there hiking on the muddy trails, but enjoying the sunshine. And that's what we have today. A little bit warmer, more comfortable. And actually, this morning, we were warmer than Milwaukee area. It was kind of backwards. They were in the teens this morning while we were sitting in the 30s. So just a little smile on your face for that, to finally be warmer than the Milwaukee area. And that's what we did today. It will be breezy, though. We've got winds pulling out of the south today, about 30 to 40 miles per hour. So another breezy, windy one. The sun will stay out, mixed with a few clouds at times, and highs will make it to the mid-50s today. But with those winds, and the sun, and the warmth, that means high fire danger. And we've seen about 50 wildfires across the state in just the past week. So no burning. Watch where you toss that cigarette butt, and watch out for the sparks from your equipment, too, today.
And as we get to what I was looking at, well, how many hours, maybe 40 hours, 38 hours, things are going to get interesting. Yes. Very interesting. Oh. But this time of year, you always expect that mid-March dumper when it comes to snow. And I think we're going to get one coming up starting late Tuesday night into Wednesday, right?
Yes, we are. So we've been tracking this system. It's a big one, and it's, of course, going to bring some crazy winds with it. It's going to pull in a little bit of warmth out ahead before it slams us with the cold. So what's going to be happening is I'm really thinking rain rolls in late tomorrow night. It's going to be raining through the overnight because highs tomorrow, we hit the low 50s. So more and more clouds throughout the day, rain at night. Then Wednesday, it looks like in the afternoon, it wants to mix in with some freezing rain, sleet, and then flips to all snow by late Wednesday afternoon into the evening, and then starts to wind down through the overnight. Now, right now, accumulations, I'm going to say at least expect 2 to 5 inches. But, there is a winter storm watch out, and it's right up to us. It's sitting there, and it's about to be extended into Marathon County, and I do think that we're going to be in the track of some of the hardest hitting snowfall. Now, it could stay a little bit northwest of us. And if it does, then that means we're going to definitely get the 2 to 5. But there is a chance for 6 inches to potentially 10 inches. That's what this system is going to be packing. They're going to be getting it. But again, the system keeps shifting anywhere between northwest Wisconsin to us, to northwest Wisconsin to us. So we're right there.
And of course, you know, the closer you get, the more accurate the forecasting gets. So I imagine you're going to keep a close eye on this, and by tomorrow morning, hopefully, have a better feel for exactly. I hope it's closer to 3 inches and a little less close to 10 inches before all is said and done. Because as you were saying, I think earlier, it's going to be that heavy kind of snow.
Yes, it's going to be a heavy, wet, slushy type. Plus, the winds are going to be gusting around, and it's just going to be hard to see. So, whiteout conditions while it's snowing. Now, the good thing is it'll be, you know, later in the afternoon, hopefully, when these are hitting. But rush hour Wednesday, definitely possible on the way home.
All right. Well, what are the details here as we start off another new work week?
All right, warming things up. Mid-50s today, breezy, partly sunny, and then tomorrow we'll slide to the low 50s. It'll still be breezy. That rain rolls in overnight, flips to a wintry mix tomorrow afternoon, and then to all snow tomorrow evening. I'm sorry, Wednesday evening and into the night. Thursday, we're looking at a ton of sunshine, highs in the upper 30s, and then Friday we'll be in the upper 40s with a lot more sunshine, too. It's a good weekend ahead, we'll put it that way.
Very good. All right, well, thanks again for the info. I know we'll be keeping a close eye on that potential storm midweek, but we'll talk to you all about that and more tomorrow morning.
Sounds good. Brittany, have a great day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
You too.
That is our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, right now in downtown Wausau, here at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street downtown. A little bit of sun is peeking through. Otherwise, overcast skies, temperature of 30 degrees. Winds are out of the southeast at 10 miles per hour, so the wind chill factor is 21. Dew point is 14, relative humidity of 51%, barometer at 29.98 inches, and a visibility of 10 miles. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about the Wausau school referendum. Give me a little information. Again, talk a little bit about what you'll be voting on coming up on April the 1st, why it's happening as well. So going to discuss that as we continue. Start of a new work week, 17th day of March, St. Patrick's Day. Boy, first 2.5 months of this year just flying right on by. Already
you certainly are
getting closer and closer to real springtime weather as well. So a lot to look forward to with Ian Welsh. I'm Chad Holmes. Information coming up next. Time is 8:29. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlau. Van Orden urges Musk to spare vets and farmers from federal cuts. Joanne Krulatz tells us more.
3rd Congressional District Republican Representative Derek Van Orden says he spoke with the billionaire last week and that Musk assured him the Department of Government Efficiency, better known as DOGE, will be more refined in its recommendations to ensure veterans and farmers are not harmed by federal budget cuts. Van Orden says he'll raise farm and veterans issues when he meets with DOGE staff and that federal benefits to vets and farmers won't be interrupted. The Federal Department of Veterans Affairs employs almost 500,000 people, with more than 25% of them being veterans. And the Associated Press reported last week that there are plans to cut over 80,000 jobs at the department.
And with temperatures warming up today and winds whipping up to 40 miles per hour, there is a high fire danger. Burn bans are in place, and you need to be careful with equipment sparking, and definitely don't toss your cigarette butt anywhere. And the price at the pump continues to drop. It may sound good for your wallet, but it may not be good for the economy. Melissa Kay tells us more.
Gas prices fell 4.1 cents last week for an average of 2.86 today. This is 2.9 cents lower than a month ago and just over 45 cents lower than this time last year. Officials at Gas Buddy say this decline shouldn't necessarily be celebrated. This time of year, there's usually an increase in gas prices as we switch over to summer gasoline and people are driving more. Gas Buddy officials say this decline comes with strong warning signs. When the economy slows, gasoline demand drops. They say some signals indicate the months ahead could be challenging. Gas prices are likely to remain low for now. However, if the economy improves, gas prices could start to rise again.
Gas prices in the Wausau area today range from $2.89 to $2.93. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. A new documentary says We Are Not Alone. The Age of Disclosure premiered at the South by Southwest Film Festival in early March and claims aliens are real and that the government has covered up their existence for the last 80 years. The doc claims non-human biological matter has been collected from spacecraft crash sites. Director Dan Farah interviewed 34 government officials who confirmed some type of extraterrestrial life, but the film does not offer a whole lot of actual proof other than talking heads. No confirmation as to whether or not people have actually been probed. As promised, I said I would report back when I finished the show Zero Day on Netflix. The six-parter starring Robert De Niro and Joan Allen explores what happens after a massive grid outage that kills over 3,000 Americans. Zero Day has some great moments, but ties everything up a little too neatly at the end. Having said that, De Niro is great. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy and warmer today. We'll get to the low 50s this afternoon, and it will be a little breezy this morning, but the wind will die down by later this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear, down to 33. Tomorrow, increasing clouds, 57, with rain likely tomorrow night, changing to snow after midnight. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, he would not be negotiating with the GOP if he was Wisconsin's sitting senator.
I want to clarify, like, I'm always happy to negotiate in good faith, but we're talking about a party that's not acting in good faith. We shouldn't be in a position where we're throwing a life raft to somebody who was hell-bent on sinking the entire ship.
Not something I want to be involved in.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Congressman Mark Pocan.
Already people can't get appointments as easily at the VA hospitals. Already farmers aren't getting their grants. Federal employees are losing their jobs. And this is just the real life ramifications of what's happening.
If you can't convey the impact of these cuts, the people that are getting bad information are just going to think he's just cutting wasteful spending.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is coming to Eau Claire to do a town hall in Derek Van Orden's district, since Derek Van Orden appears to be a little shy.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, call or text at 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. Coming up here in just a moment, we'll talk a bit about the school district referendum that folks in Wausau will be voting on in 15 days on the 1st of April. Just wanted to mention, since we're going to talk about the Wausau School District, congratulations to the Wausau East High School boys basketball team.
Yeah, my dad was telling me about that last night. Congratulations to them.
Yep, they are heading to the state tournament down in Madison. They'll be playing at the Kohl Center on late Friday afternoon. Lumberjacks were able to earn a sectional championship on Saturday night. So with a 20-7 record, Wausau East heading to the state semifinals in Division II against Wauwatosa West. East is the number 3 seed in the state tournament. Wauwatosa West is the number 2 seed. The other two teams in the Division II state tournament, number 1 seeded Racine Park, who is 26-2, and number 4 seeded Cedarburg, who is 20-8. Racine Park and Cedarburg will tip off at 1:35 on Friday afternoon. And then following game number 1, it will be Wausau East and Wauwatosa West, approximately 3:30 or so. So we'll have more on sports and talk about the high school girls state tournament and boys state tournament. Badgers and Marquette find out their NCAA pairings as well. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the program. But just wanted to say again, I know a lot of folks, and I know your dad's been associated with Wausau East for a long time. Mm-hmm. A lot of the folks on the east side very, very excited about what's going on.
He's also getting ready to get the golf team back at it too.
That's right.
In a couple of weeks, the weather should be nicer, and then the golf team will start their practicing.
Yeah, I played golf at DC Everest back in the day, and early in the year, it'd be a lot of indoor stuff, which is not great for golf.
No.
But you do the basics, try to get ready, and then when the weather gets good and the courses dry out, you're able to get outside and actually...
Golf is very dependent on the weather.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
It doesn't matter if it's inside or outside, because you can't really play golf outside.
Exactly right. So a lot to look forward to as we get into the warmer weather.
Indeed.
Coming up on Tuesday, April the 1st, it is a referendum here in the city of Wausau. April 1st, the community, Wausau School District folks, will be voting on a proposed 5-year non-recurring operational referendum. If approved, the Wausau School District will be able to raise its revenue limit by $8 billion per year through the 2029-2030 school year. So I wanted to talk a little bit about this because we're about 2 weeks away before the vote. Where, again, I actually was trying to get the school board president, Jim Boucher, on here today or tomorrow, but him and his wife are actually away right now, and we'll be back before the vote, and we'll get him on right before the vote and be able to talk more specifically in terms of what is on the ballot when it comes to this vote for Wausau School District residents. But right now, again, it's not just the Wausau School District. There are school districts all around the state that are being forced to go to their voters and ask basically for the basics. This is not a case of where the Wausau School District or many other school districts are looking for you'd call what's the word here, the when it's not really the necessities, it's the what I think getting the point across, it's I'm a professional at this.
It's
I should not
be the essentials, it's the
luxuries. The That's luxuries. Yeah, they're not looking for the luxuries here. They're looking for the essentials, basically, to be able to do things and keep the doors open. In fact, according to the Wausau School District and their website, in terms of talking about the issues behind the reasons for this vote, according to the school district, based on conservative assumptions, the district is projecting a deficit of $3.7 million for the 2025-2026 school year, and says this takes into account the state-level funding recently granted to public school districts as part of the Wisconsin 2023 through 2025 state biennial budget. And one of the aspects I gotta say, because when I've talked to Jim Boucher a number of times, and one of the things I actually asked him the last time around was talking about what the responsibility of the state in these matters, because the state, in terms of trying to keep up with the funding for these schools over the past 15-20 years, have fallen behind. And I asked him, I said, well, what is the responsibility here? What is the responsibility of folks down in Madison? And then what are the responsibilities of folks at the individual school district level? And he didn't really, I thought, come across and say exactly, you know, because I do think that, you know, I think Jim is a little bit more conservative. And I know, in fact, he's a much more conservative than I am. And I don't think he wanted to come out and fully criticize maybe the Republican majorities down in Madison. But this has a lot to do, because going back to the Scott Walker gubernatorial administration, we've just fallen behind and behind and behind. And when you fall behind, it's hard to catch up. I mean, the gap mm-hmm. just gets bigger and bigger and bigger every 2 years when the budget does not catch up. We saw a step forward 2 years ago in the budget process, and now the next budget process is underway, but we're still way, way behind. Again, rising expenses, outdated and inequitable state school funding formula, and a lack of state aid to public schools in recent years, according to the district. And basically, again, just keep falling further and further behind, and that leads to situations like this where the Wausau School District needs to ask their voters for help here. They need help in order to do some of the basics. Yeah. And according to the district, in a chart they put out, general school district revenues per pupil lag inflation by more than $3,300 since 2009. And that basically goes back to when, you know, Scott Walker was first elected in 2010, and the gap just started growing almost immediately. And it's just been way, way behind over the last 15 years or so.
It has.
And the school is often asked, well, what are you doing in order to try to close its budget gap? And they actually list some of the things. And one of the things that they list as one of the items that they've done over the last number of years in order to close this budget gap is reducing more than 25 full-time equivalent positions in 2024. Yeah. That saddens me, because losing staff is not a good thing. In a sense, and I know that they're not listing this as a good thing. They're listing it as one of the things that they have done in order to try to make the most of their existing funds and to make sure that they don't have to cut in some other areas. But again, 25 full-time equivalent positions let go in 2024. That's not good news. The fact that you're forced to cut that much is actually something that says, doggone it, we are so far behind in the funding of our public schools right now that we're forced to cut 25 full-time positions. That's not good. But again, when you're forced to work within a budget, you have to sometimes make very difficult and sometimes very painful decisions. And the district is saying that, hey, we have done that. We are doing that. We're not just, you know, mouthing the idea that we have to make tough decisions. They're actually making tough decisions. So they've reduced those full-time positions. They've also implemented salary increases below the consumer price index. They've kept budget static for things like buildings, departments, and capital maintenances. They've reduced the overall footprint by closing those four elementary schools. Of course, we remember talking about that discussion and decision very recently, and also repurposing one. So, again, it's a situation where they've done things to try and use the money to their best available decision-making processes, but in the end, there's still a shortfall. And they decided that the best way in order to continue, and one of the aspects, because when you talk about communities trying to grow, and one of the things that especially parents of young children, when they're making a decision on maybe where to live or maybe on a job offer, because often some talented people have job offers in different communities, and it's not just the job. Often the jobs can be similar in terms of benefits and pay and everything else, challenges within a job. Then it comes down to, where do you want to live? And one of the biggest factors in terms of where people want to live, especially younger families, are the schools. And if the schools are not up to snuff, if they're not up to standards that a lot of these folks believe they should be, they're going to live somewhere else. And then you lose that tax base. You lose the people. When you have more people come in, you got a bigger tax base. So, again, it's one of those situations where you have to make sure that the schools are at the highest level possible, or else you're going to start losing. And then now in this era especially, there's so much choice involved as well when it comes to the schools that you cannot afford to cut off your arm and then cut off your other arm and then cut off your leg, and all of a sudden you're left with basically not much else. So what the district is going to do here is for a five-year span. Again, it's not going to be recurring beyond the years on this ballot measure. So five-year operational referendum. This is operational. And it's different than what the voters approved just a few years ago. Back in April of 2022, the voters approved a $119.8 million capital referendum to fund key facility improvements. And, of course, the projects included remodeling and additions at the two middle and two high school buildings, construction of additions at Riverview, South Mountain, and Stettin Elementary Schools, and the construction of a new school forest environmental learning center. And again, that is different than an operational referendum. School boards can ask voters to approve two types of referendums, the operational referendum or a capital or bond referendum. The operational referendum is used to fund the ongoing day-to-day expenses of running a school district. This can include salaries and benefits for teachers and staff, utilities, classroom supplies, transportation, and other operating costs. And that is the proposed measure that you'll be voting on coming up in 15 days. The capital referendum is used to fund major building projects and improvements. They can include the construction of new school buildings, renovations or additions to existing facilities, equipment expenditures, purchasing land, and the like. And that's what the voters approved back in 2022. But basically here is, I would suggest, folks, in the next 2 weeks, because this is vital. This is a big decision for the people of Wausau.
Yes, it is.
And for the school district itself. So in the next 2 weeks, go to wausauschools.org. They got a question and answer section on in there where they talk about this referendum. Get the information so you make a good decision whether or not you think this is something that's worthwhile or not worthwhile. Again, based on my reading of the facts, I do think it's something that is worthwhile. I do think that the district has done a lot in terms of trying to make every dollar go as far as it possibly can. And this is a case where if you don't get this additional operating capital, there's going to lead to some very, very more difficult decisions that do hurt the everyday educational experience of the kids throughout the Wausau School District. So again, check out wausauschools.org/referendum-2025, or just go to wausauschools.org, and then you'll be able to get to the additional Q&A and find out more as well.
Yeah.
The time is 8:49. Sun is shining. Seeing a little bit more blue skies as well. Temperature in the low 30s. We'll, of course, keep an eye on the weather with that significant snow. Not sure how much. I'm hoping it's closer to 3 inches,
yeah,
but Brittany
too.
Says it could be upwards towards double digits as well. So, again, we'll keep a close eye on that. We're going to take a very quick timeout. Be back in 2 minutes here on 98.9 WXCO.
Old Falls Radio, WXCO.
At Lakeland Care, we are passionate about creating a world we all want to live in. Lakeland Care supports frail elders and adults with disabilities through Wisconsin's Family Care Program. As a Lakeland Care member, you'll benefit from a dedicated care team that assists you in managing your health and daily activities. Our personalized support aims to improve your quality of life and help you maintain your independence. To find out if you qualify, contact your county's Aging and Disability Resource Center. To learn more about Lakeland Care, visit lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. More Trump administration mass layoffs at CISA have experts raising concerns over U.S. readiness for cyber attacks on election infrastructure and federal agency networks. An additional 100 in-house and contracted cyber specialists were reportedly terminated in March. The terminations raised the number of layoffs at the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency to an estimated 300, though new CISA leadership has denied recent layoffs. As we reported in February, a team assisting state election officials in improving and hardening election systems was laid off. VoteBeat reported March 11th that CISA's new leadership informed state election officials that it had suspended operations and funding for the Election Infrastructure Information Sharing and Analysis Center. In addition, a McCarthy-like effort is underway to purge CISA staffers who ran 2020 efforts to combat foreign and domestic disinformation in social media, some concocted by the Trump campaign and its allies. Reports in cybersecurity journals say that the latest layoffs involve so-called red teams, which pressure test the security of government networks. CBS News quoted one cybersecurity expert let go in February as saying about U.S. networks, "We're being targeted daily, hourly, and every single minute." We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, Wausau's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Also, again, at YouTube.com, video stream you can find on the 98.9 WXCO channel. So, again, plenty of ways to join us, and if you have not already downloaded the Civic Media app, what are you waiting for? It is free. Great piece of technology. Just go to your app store, search out Civic Media, download the app, and then you'll have every station on the Civic Media radio network at the touch of a finger, and the fourth one down is 98.9 WXCO. I have figured out, because coming up in 1 hour's time will be our daily history lesson, and it will also include at the very end of the show the number for the day quiz, but I have found our number for the day.
It is not a good topic?
Well, it's going to be involving St. Patrick's Day. I thought we should have something that involves St. Patrick's Day. So
nice.
We will have that be our number for the day, because the number for the day that was sent was not part of St. Patrick's Day. I thought, we can't have that. We got
the spirit of the season. We want to keep with the St. Patrick's Day.
You got your Irish brogue and everything else, and so we will do that coming up in just about an hour's time. But I thought here for a few moments before we wrap up hour number one to have a little fun here with St. Patrick's Day.
Aww, nice.
There is a way you can figure out what your leprechaun name is.
Oh.
So if you were a leprechaun,
quizzes like that.
So you, what is your leprechaun name? So I am going to ask you first of all. For the last letter of your first name. So with Ian, what is the last letter of your first name?
Well, that would be N.
Okay, that's N. And according to the chart, because this is how they're going to figure out what your leprechaun name is,
okay.
N equals Greenie. So that's the first. That's your first name when it comes to your leprechaun.
All right.
Okay. And then I will need the first letter of your last name.
That would be a W.
Okay. So the first letter of your last name and the last name for your leprechaun name would be McSpud. So your leprechaun name, Ian Welsh, is Greeny McSpud.
All right, I like that name. So you're proud of my Irish heritage.
So we'll call you Greeny McSpud for the rest of the show.
Just call me Greeny.
Greeny McSpud.
How about you, Chad?
For me, so the last letter of my first name would be D, and that would be Bunyan.
Oh.
Bunyan. Like Paul Bunyan, not Bunyan on your foot. Yeah. Okay. Bunyan.
That's better.
Is Paul Bunyan Irish? I don't even know. Think of that. I guess I have to look that up.
I'm not sure if he is.
But Bunyan is the first part.
Okay.
And then the first letter of my last name, which would be H, and that would be McDoodles. So I am Bunyan McDoodles. I'm not so sure about that. I don't know if I want to be
quizzes like this. There's also ones for different holidays there,
right,
too. You have to do your elf name or your Halloween name or your pilgrim name for Thanksgiving. Yeah. They have all sorts of these quizzes on Facebook.
All right. Is Paul Bunyan... Okay, Paul Bunyan... is
fun
not
fact, people if you didn't know this
not Irish, so I don't know where the Bunyan comes from for my first name as a leprechaun.
It must have some Irish historical reference or something.
Well, Paul Bunyan origins linked to French Canadian lumberjack traditions and
French Canadian.
So some researchers suggest a possible connection between Paul Bunyan tales and the exploits of French-Canadian lumberjack Fabien Saginaw Joel Fournier and the character of Bon Jean.
Interesting. If you didn't know that, people, now you know.
So there you go. So we learn a little Irish about leprechaun names, and we also learn a little bit about Paul Bunyan. Have you ever, over in Minnesota, I think it's the largest Paul Bunyan statue, because I remember going on a vacation one time.
My family and I have driven through Minnesota
a couple of times.
But I don't think we've ever actually, I've probably seen pictures of it, but never actually seen it in, actually going there.
So, Ackley, Minnesota, actually. It's the... If Ackley's Bunyan ever stood upright, he'd be roughly 60 feet tall, making him the largest Paul of all.
Wow.
Well, getting off on a tangent here, I tell you. Sometimes you start to go down that rabbit hole, and I went down that rabbit hole the last couple of minutes.
Sometimes on a Monday, you just have to loosen it up
a little bit. But again, it is St. Patrick's Day, so if you're getting dressed, put on the green. Put on the green. Like, I got the green on, Ian's got the green on, and... going to celebrate.
I won't find any shamrocks quite yet.
Not quite yet. But we are 1 hour into this Monday morning edition of the Chad Holmes Show. Got an information update coming up, and then we'll be back with more. Time is 8:58 here on 98.9 WXCO.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Dom Selvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey K., will discuss the capitulation by Senate Democrats on the continuing resolution. Should AOC primary Chuck Schumer? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Matt Nair on air.
Will Westmoreland is joining us now. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri.
This is an 80-20 Republican area down here. You can't throw a rock without hitting a Republican. And I still know all the guys I graduated with. So I always ask, don't admit you were wrong, just admit you were lied to. That's a lot easier to do. If you just admit you were lied to, you can get over here with us and start working to fight the problem.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Trump administration's insisting deportations of about 200 migrants to a prison in El Salvador are not illegal. CBS's Scott McFarland.
Attorneys representing those with connections to Venezuela who are challenging the president's use of the Alien Enemies Act have asked federal judge James Boasberg here in Washington to order the Trump administration detail when the flight took off and whether it violated the judge's order.
Russia confirms President Trump and Vladimir Putin plan to speak by phone tomorrow to discuss ending the war in Ukraine. Mr. Trump told reporters on Air Force One.
We'll be talking about land. It's a lot of land. It's a lot different than it was before the war, as you know.
Cleanup underway in the South and Midwest after devastating and deadly weekend storms. High winds are expected today from Florida to New Jersey and heavy rain across New York and New England. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
I'm Brittany Merlot.